Son of Porthos. While Francoise Sauvigne, Marchioness de Fougere, is talking with the king in his private chambers at Chateau Marly, Joël, with Aurora in his arms, is feeling his way carefully along the secret passage that leads to the summer house. He travels slowly, moving softly, step by step along the narrow way, afraid of knocking his precious burden against the rough walls. The end of the passage is in sight when the square of light from the door by the fireplace is suddenly blocked out and someone else enters the tunnel. Joël stops, pressing himself against the wall, hardly daring to breathe as the footsteps come echoing towards him. But he is scarcely the right size to be easily hidden, even in the darkness.
Oh, there, you shouting scoundrel. Step out now and let me have a look at you, or I'll show you the
color
of my sword.
I cannot fight with Aurora in my arms. Nor dare I go back.
Come now! I'll pin you to the wall for all your sides. I'll pin you to the wall with my sword. Death of my life, I'm not so small like a
Friquet. Oh, Friquet, is it you?
Joël, I swear I didn't recognize you. Huddled there in the dark. But for pity's sake, let's get out of this tomb. My throat chokes for want of some good fresh air.
You lead the way, then. I cannot move very quickly.
What is it? Are you hurt?
No. I have my arms full.
Well, thank heaven for the good daylight again. Even if one has to step over a corpse to reach it. Now, I can take a look at you. Truly, I thought I'd never set eyes on you again. Is that...
Aurora. Yes.
He's not dead.
No. Run. But not dead.
Put her down a moment. There's a couch there by the window. Then we can rest a moment and make our plan.
I do not want to put her down. She is no weight. We can talk, and I'll still hold her.
As you wish. But by my sword, I seem to have been playing such a game of hide-and-seek with you and Madame de Fougère. My head spins from it.
You found Francoise, then? Where is she?
Death of my life, Joël, I do not know. I lose you, I find Madame. I lose, Madame. I find you. One moment we are all seeking you. Then we are looking for your wife. I wonder if I've ever seen such coming and going in my whole life.
But we have found Aurora. That is all that matters. She is safe. I have her now.
Perhaps. But it seems to me, in this town, one must consolidate one's gains or lose them. I tell you truly, I cannot keep track of anybody any longer for more than 5 minutes. And now I found you. I have no intention of losing you again.
Nor I, Aurora.
She is beautiful, I admit, Joël. But do you not realize we cannot stay around here all day? What are you going to do now?
What are you doing here anyway, Friquet? How did you come to be in this secret passage? And what have you done with Françoise and Annette and Honorat?
Death of my life, isn't that just like a Briton? Not content to answer one question with another, he asks a dozen. I was in the secret passage because I was looking for Françoise.
Was she there too?
How stupid you are! Big men never have any brains. She guessed me to try and find you, or your wife, or the king. I've forgotten who we were thinking at the precise moment. I tell you, I'm quite befuddled with all this.
Go on.
Then I was looking for her. It's a game we've been playing ever since she came to Saint-Germain. I found this summer house, perceived yon gentleman, very dead. Are you responsible?
Yes, but go on.
There is no more to go on with. I saw the door open, and it was beyond human nature not to go in.
Then where are the others? And where did you find Françoise?
One at a time now. Françoise was at her house when we called. I'll explain about that later. And that's where Annette and Honoré are now. I suggest you go to them. I do not like the look of that corpse upon the floor.
I must take Aurora away from here.
That's what I'm telling you.
I mean away from Saint-Germain.
To Paris, is it?
No. To Locmaria. I think it is time we both went home.
I cannot imagine anyone wishing to make their home anywhere but Paris.
We are going to Locmaria.
But you must see His Majesty first.
I do not want to see him.
My friend, he will want to see you. We have dispatches for him. Remember? Dispatches and flags we set out to bring to him before we ever began this little game of yours.
It was no game.
I did but joke, friend. Now that a happy ending is in view, I do not like to see you looking so grim. A Briton should always be laughing. But look you, stay tonight at Madame's house, where you'll be safe and your wife too. Then tomorrow morning, you'll see His Majesty, deliver our dispatches, and then go to Locmaria. Would not that be best? Come now, wouldn't it?
Yes, I suppose it would.
Of course it would. You're tired. Madame, your wife, is not fit yet for traveling.
Oh, you are right.
Of course I am. Tomorrow morning, you will see the king.
No, you will see him. And tonight. Then we can make an early start. I shall not be happy until I have Aurora safe in Locmaria.
But the king may wish to reward you for your services at Treyburg. Without doubt, he will wish to reward me.
Then you go and collect the rewards, my friend. I shall take Aurora back to Francoise's home. You interview His Majesty.
His Majesty regrets that he cannot see you, Captain Seeker.
Cannot? Death of my life, what is this? His Majesty cannot see me? Upon my sword, I do not understand you. Did I not tell you I have come from Freiburg with important dispatches from Marshal Cretty? I must see His Majesty.
I reported what you had said, Monsieur, and I can only tell you what His Majesty replied. He said he would be glad to see your dispatches tonight, and you in the morning.
It is an insult! And they call him the Sun King. So great and so glorious, they say. Yet he will not deign to interview one who has braved death in his service.
It is only because you have braved death in his service, Monsieur, that I do not now report your words for treason. Be reasonable now, my little fellow.
Little! Does a man need to be a giant before he can be taken seriously? Why, I have trodden greater men than you underfoot and never noticed them.
I am sure of it. But let's not quibble over trifles. His Majesty will not see you tonight. And that's the end of it.
Then he shall not see me in the morning either. And that's the end of that.
Do you want me to give him that message?
You must do as you like with it. Tomorrow morning I leave for the province of Brittany. Locmaria, to be exact. With my good friend Chevalier Joël de Locmaria and his wife. If His Majesty wishes to see me, he may visit me there. I can no longer cool my heels waiting here.
You are very high-handed with the King of France, Captain. And yet His Majesty graciously bid me treat you kindly.
Nice of him, I'm sure.
So I'll make no trouble for you. Now let me have your dispatches. Oh, come, they're sealed, surely, and so we'll reach the King safely.
All right. Since there seems no help for it, here they are. But believe me, I wouldn't trust them into your keeping if they were not sealed. Deliver them to His Majesty immediately.
Although he is unable to see you tonight, Captain, yet he has expressed his desire to have these brought to him at once. So I will comply with your wishes. It is only pressure of business that keeps him from you.
I have no doubt at all. This pressure of business is in female guise.
And who am I to contradict you, Captain?
And that, sire, is the whole story. I have told you everything.
You plead eloquently for your friends, madame.
Their actions plead for them, your majesty. Your servant has brought you the dispatches and flags from Freiburg, brought by the hand of Monsieur Joël. Please give you proof of all I have told you. The account I repeated to you was given me by Captain Friedrich, he said.
It reflects great credit on the Breton. It seems I have treated a loyal subject badly.
Oh, not you, sire. You acted but on the advice of your minister. How could you know? Your first thoughts, as always, were for the good of your people, the peace of Europe. A monarch has so much in his mind, sire. He cannot think of everything.
Yet I should have realized the Spanish ambassador was no friend of mine.
He was an accomplished courtier, Your Majesty, well-versed in conspiracy and intrigue. But he has paid his account now, and it is not for us to judge him. You can tell how sincere he was in his belief. He thought his cause was just.
You are very charitable, madame. And what of your mistress, the Marchioness de Montespan? Would you plead for her also?
Yes, sire. A little.
Yet she would have taken my children away from you. Put them in the care of a witch, a poisoner by all accounts.
I could not have given her had she harmed the children. But through Providence, I was able to take them from her, hide them with loyal friends until you returned.
It is easy to understand, madame, why you have loyal friends. Will you be my friend, Francois?
I am not already, sire.
Yet you ask mercy for one who would have harmed me. In this locket, you have given me proof of her express desire to murder me. There can be no clemency there, Francoise. She must die.
Oh, no, Your Majesty.
You paid for a murderess? What then would you have me do?
Expulsion from the court, public disgrace, the loss of her wealth and power. These things are worse punishments than death for a proud and ambitious woman. Besides, sire, you loved her once.
Do not remind me of it.
And she was my friend. She raised me from poverty, gave reason and purpose to a life I had thought ended. She entrusted me with the children, and through them gave me the friendship of their father. For that alone, sire, I must be ever grateful.
Madame, I have heard your story, and now... Enter.
Your Majesty, the Marchioness de Montespan craves an audience. She says it is most urgent that she speaks with Your Majesty immediately.